Every profession has its Herculean tasks. And in classical theater, perhaps the most Herculean task is completing Shakespeare's canon, all 38 plays. And that is exactly what Cincinnati Shakespeare Company is getting ready to do in May. And joining me to discuss this is producing artistic director Brian Isaac Phillips. Welcome, Brian.
Hi, thanks for having me.
38 plays. And it's taken the Shakespeare Company 20 years.
Correct.
Why is this considered such a huge undertaking in classical theater? Not very many theaters have done this.
Well, it's the difficulty of some of the material. So you've got your classic Shakespeare favorites like Julius Caesar, Hamlet, Romeo and Juliet that are done on a pretty regular basis. But once you get to Henry VIII, Cymbeline, King John, there's usually elements in the show that are very difficult, especially for companies of a certain size. And there's a fear of what will happen at the box office with some of these titles as well. And we've been very fortunate at CSC that our subscriber base has been very excited about these lesser-known gems and has shown up for them.
Shakespeare officially undertook the Complete the Canon program about 8 years ago?
It's funny. We started when we were putting together our 10th anniversary season. We were sitting there and we were talking about what we were going to do. And of course, we had Taming of the Shrew in there and we had Hamlet in there and, you know, and we had Dracula, which is not Shakespeare, of course, but which was great for Halloween. But we were trying to figure out, well, what is something that we can do that can keep our subscribers interested and keep our artists interested in the company and provide something that seems new and fresh to them every season? And so we said, okay, well, we're going to do Pericles. And we'll see what happens, but wouldn't it be great if every year we could do one or two of these that we've never done before and that our audience has never seen before? And then, hey, maybe by our 20th anniversary, we'll have completed the canon. And it looks like that's exactly what we did.
Now, you mentioned some of the lesser known ones. Pericles was the first one that you put into this program. But there are other ones, Coriolanus, Timon of Athens. What is it about these plays that are not so popular today that perhaps they're not being produced as much?
Honestly, I'm not sure. One of the greatest comments that we hear, the feedback that we hear from our audience is when they walk out the door and they say, I don't know why that play is not done more often. Why is that an obscure Shakespeare play? And a part of that's a testament to the company and what they're doing with it. But I think it's very easy to overlook the full scope and the full range of Shakespeare's genius and write off some of these plays, because every single one of them has something really powerful and really special about it, as long as an artist, you're able to find your end to the material. And I think with our directors and with our principal actors playing some of these lead roles, they've been able to get very excited about the material and deliver really great productions.
Of course, as you go through the list of the ones that are less and less produced, you kind of get down to the final one that you've gotten to. And this is a play that is very, very rarely produced anywhere.
Correct.
And that's The Two Noble Kinsmen.
Correct.
Tell us about The Two Noble Kinsmen.
So The Two Noble Kinsmen, I guess the easiest way to talk about it is potentially the original stage adaptation of The Knight's Tale from Chaucer's Canterbury Tales. So it's the story of Palamon and Arcite, who get captured by Theseus, who many people will remember from A Midsummer Night's Dream. When he sacks Thebes and invades Creon's kingdom there, he captures as prisoners Palamon and Arcite, who happen to see Emilia in the garden and basically call dibs on I saw her first, and that starts the action of the play and the conflict between these two noble kinsmen fighting over the woman that they both say that they love. The difference between Chaucer's original, the source material, and the play is that there's also a subplot of a jailer's daughter who falls in love with Palamon when he's in prison, lets him go, can't find him in the woods, and goes crazy because she thinks that he's been eaten by wolves. So it's a little bit of a comic subplot. Think Ophelia, but three times as many lines that's going on at the same time as Chaucer's Knight's Tale.
Sounds very Shakespeare. I don't understand why it's not produced as much. Why do you think this particular play isn't produced?
Well, I think that some Shakespeare companies will stay away from it because it is one of the co-authorship plays. So it's him and John Fletcher, which is who he worked with on Henry VIII. He worked with Thomas Middleton on Timon of Athens. So sometimes if he's not the sole author, some companies will stay away from it. I think it's very exciting to sort of work on something and see those two voices at work in the material. So you can really tell that Shakespeare seems to have some of the more mature text, Theseus, that character, the voice that when you hear him speak in the play, that sounds like Shakespeare. It sounds dark. It sounds mature. And then you've got some of the silly stuff going on, sort of a darker Midsummer Night's Dream, if you will. And that really feels like Fletcher. So being able to reconcile that there's two voices at work in the material is a challenge. And I think that some people stay away from that, but we're going to embrace it and see what happens.
Now, we have mentioned that this is quite an undertaking for a theater company, but there are also theater viewers out there who are trying to complete the canon for themselves. You actually have quite a number of people who are coming here to catch this because it is the last one that they need to see. And they're coming from all over the country.
Yes, we've got people from Vancouver coming in. So from out of the country, we've got people from Washington State. So it's something that, you know, a lot of people have on their bucket list that I want to make sure that I see all 38 plays performed live in my lifetime. And we've had people come in over the past 10 years for our productions of Titus Andronicus, for Henry VIII, for Timon of Athens. We had students coming in for Timon of Athens because they were going to write their thesis on it, and this was their only chance that they thought they were going to ever see it. So there are people that are searching what theater companies are doing nationwide and worldwide in order to accomplish this theater-goers Herculean task. And they're coming to Cincinnati for Two Noble Kinsmen, and we're really excited about that.
Now, you're directing Two Noble Kinsmen.
Correct.
When you approach the text, because it is not done that often, you've probably not seen it before, so you kind of have a blank slate start.
Correct.
What was it about it that made you want to direct it?
I think it's the fight in the play between youth and age, between passion and wisdom. And I get really excited about the conflict between the immediacy and the passion that you see in the Two Noble Kinsmen and what they want and how they want it now, and how Theseus, as an older character that listens to reason and tries to rule with wisdom, and how he's trying to govern these two prisoners he has in his kingdom. There's just something very fascinating to me about that fight between passion and wisdom. So that was sort of my in to the play. I think it's a very sexy play. I think that's going to be very exciting. Basically, you've got a Midsummer Night's Dream in there, but it's a darker, more twisted Midsummer Night's Dream. So being somebody that has quite a few Midsummer Night's Dream under his belt, I'm excited to sort of look at that material with fresh eyes and see a little bit of a darker vision of that. So that's what's exciting to me.
Now, Cincinnati Shakespeare Company is a resident company. Many of the members who are currently with you were with you 10 years ago when you started this. Mm-hmm. Have they been looking forward to the completion of the canon as much as you have?
I think so. I might have a little bit more skin in the game just because this is also, for me, I will, as an actor and director, be finishing the 38-play canon at the age of 38. So I've got 38 by 38, so I'm very excited about this. 10 years ago, I wasn't sure we were going to be able to pull it off, but that's very exciting. There are other company members that have completed a lot of the canon along the way as well. I think they're very excited about it. I think the organization is very excited about it. It's just one of those tasks that you set up for yourself, and it's an epic journey. And when you get to the end of it, there's just such a sense of pride and relief at the same time that goes along with the joy of the journey. So I think you're going to see that with ensemble members like Jeremy Dubin and Giles Davis and Nick Rose and Sarah Clark and Kelly Minglecook and Corinne Mollenhoff, all these fantastic actors that have been with us and have done so many of these plays. There's a sense of pride at the organization right now.
And of course, you can't do something like completing the canon without some sort of celebration. What have you guys got planned?
Well, on April 23rd, which is Shakespeare's 450th birthday, we are going to be having a revel and feast gala at Memorial Hall. It's not a gala, it's a revel. But we have a lot of really great surprises in store for that evening. We've got founding company members coming back into town. We have a performance by a resident company. We have a wonderful dinner that night. It's going to be a fantastic event. And we're also unveiling a program that we have for the future, which is called Project 38, which is where every single year from now on, CSC will team with 38 area schools to produce a festival that will complete Shakespeare's canon every year in Cincinnati with local schools. Education is such an important part of what we do, and this is a way to celebrate that and celebrate the completion of the canon and be the one Shakespeare company that can say, we're going to complete the canon every year from now on. So we're unveiling some of the details of that with a performance at the Revel. So it's going to be a really fantastic night, and I hope everybody in town comes out to join us.
Well, I'd like to thank this evening's guest, Brian Isaac Phillips. Thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you for having me.
For more information on the Cincinnati Shakespeare Company, their production of The Two Noble Kinsmen, which completes the canon, and their revel for celebrating the completion of the canon, please be sure to visit our website at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, this is Jim Stump.